We want to recap the key takeaways from convention weekend this past weekend. Joining us now to do that is Sacred Heart University political professor, Dr. Gary Rose. Gary, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
I'm glad to have you here, Gary, because I want to talk about some of the probably the biggest takeaways, obviously the gubernatorial race. Let's start with the Democratic Party. Governor Lamont overwhelmingly getting the Democratic Party endorsement, which is not surprising. However, despite defeating State Representative Josh Elliott, Elliott did reach that 25% threshold to now push for a primary in August. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Josh Elliott had said that he would withdraw from the race if he did not secure public funding from the Citizens Election Program, and he has not received that. Yet he continued as a candidate, and I know that there were some Democratic insiders that were pretty upset about that. But, you know, there was some question as to whether or not he would cross that threshold of 15%, and he got 25%, which suggests to me that there is clearly a faction within the Democratic Party that's not at all happy with Governor Lamont. And I think that raises some very interesting questions about what will happen in the primary in August.
It was interesting because I was reading through, obviously, everybody's kind of keeping their eyes on what's happening with local elections. But there was an article in the Connecticut Post by Dan Haar, and it was talking about, specifically this now primary election that's coming up. And there was something in the article, I'm going to totally misquote it, so I apologize, but people can go and read it. But basically, Elliott had sort of hinted or suggested that if people were able to give an anonymous vote, that more would have shifted in his favor than Lamont's. Now, of course, I don't know how true that is. I was not in the room, I have to say. But I did think that was interesting. And honestly, I mean, to get a quarter of the votes, I was a bit surprised. I was.
Yeah, you know, and I saw the article that you're referring to, and I believe that Elliott was correct in making that statement, because when you are in the same room with the governor and you vote against him, there could be consequences. I don't think that Ned Lamont is a real vindictive type of individual, but nevertheless, you know, you are in the same party as the governor, and if he knows you're voting against him, there could be some consequences down the road when, particularly, you know, when it comes to getting funds for your town or some type of policy that you think that, you know, you need, and he's going to remember that you didn't support him at the convention. And so I think that what Josh Elliott said, in that you quoted there, I think is correct. There are probably some that are saying, you know, I think Josh is onto something, but I am pretty concerned about alienating the governor, and I have to be on the good side of him because that's the way politics works.
Right.
It's a people process. It's all about relationships. And so, no, I think he was correct in that statement.
Yeah, it's alarming, though, Gary, what you just said is the idea of, you know, so here's a sitting governor who has done two terms looking for a third. And look, we're going to get to the Republican side, which I think is very interesting as well. But we live in what used to be kind of more of a purple, I would say, state, but overwhelmingly has become very blue. And so the likelihood of a Democratic governor is high. I think that that's not really an opinion. I think that that's just, look, when's the last time we had a Republican governor? Not to say that the Republican, you know, team can't squeak out a win. But I think if you're sitting in that room, to your point, Gary, you're saying, okay, it is likely we're going to have a Democratic governor. And if that is the case, do you kind of cut your losses now by saying, hey, you know, maybe we do have some new blood in that seat versus going with the same? Especially, look, I do think in the last couple of years, the Democratic Party has gone against Governor Lamont in the sense that if he has vetoed something or he has not been 100% towing the line with the Democratic Party, they've almost ousted him. I mean, they've been very vocal about not liking some of the things that he has decided to do because he wouldn't just toe the line with the Democratic Party. It's an interesting complex, I think, that Governor Lamont is in right now. I, I, I agree with what you're saying. Like, do you want to lose funding, for example, or not be a priority next legislative go around because Governor Lamont may get the win, secure the win for a third term? But I also don't see Governor Lamont being as popular as he was his last two terms.
Oh, no. And his public approval ratings have dropped below 50%. That's including all voters, you know, who were polled, of course. It was a random sample there, but within his party, he definitely has lost some support. And there are progressive Democrats along the lines of Josh Elliott and others who feel that he hasn't done enough to impose higher taxes on billionaires. They also feel that he's worked a little too closely with Republicans. And he has at times, and you know, he's worked with them quite well sometimes on legislation. And so they feel that he's really, in many ways, you know, kind of towing the line there for Republicans at, you know, at the expense sometimes of progressive Democrats. And so I think that you're correct on that. You know, he's not only lost public approval ratings statewide, but within his own party, he's not as popular as he once was. And that's why this primary in August, in my view, is up in the air. And, you know, and because turnout is very low in August. And of course, the people that do show up are people that are ideologically passionate about issues. And that's really along the lines of, you know, Josh Elliott type voters. And so, Lamont's nowhere near in a position right now that we was, say, you know, when he ran for re-election the second time. He's in a weaker position.
Right. Well, and it is interesting, though, Gary. So I can understand the party not being as in favor of Governor Lamont. But I think what Governor Lamont has done well, and I only say this as an unaffiliated voter myself, I've never been affiliated with a party, I never will be. First, professionally, I don't think it's right for me as a journalist to be with a party, but also I personally agree with being with a party. That being said, one of the things I have liked about Governor Lamont is the fact that he can actually compromise. He can actually identify sometimes like, hey, this party went too far. We have to take a step back. We have to veto. We have to try again. We need to see more of both sides, you know, in this. I like that about him. But what's interesting is I think that worked the first time around. I think it worked the second time around. Now it's gotten to a point where, okay, fine. That's fine that you can, you know, compromise, but we're starting to see where there's almost this lack of being hard, like being really almost I don't know, not as friendly, if you will. And I don't mean to say it that way, but when you look at how unaffordable Connecticut is, and again, this is coming from an unaffiliated person, it's hard sometimes to just feel like, okay, like, we can't just keep kumbayaing. That's not working. And I think the unaffiliated voter is beginning to go, okay, yes, Governor Lamont is a good governor. It's great to have somebody who's a little more middle of the line, if you will, but that's not even really cutting it anymore. Right. I mean, I think that's where you're starting to see, you know, maybe not so much from the Democratic Party, because I think they've been a little bit more outspoken about not loving him, kind of just being with the Democratic Party on everything. Even the unaffiliated voters or the independent voters are kind of going, right, but is what he's doing enough for us? And I don't know if they're convinced of that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think some people feel that he's gotten a little too comfortable up there and a little too willing to work across the aisle with individuals and see both sides of issues. And with affordability being the number one issue in this forthcoming campaign, there are a lot of people who feel that, you know, it's time for him to really do something quite substantive to address that issue. And quite frankly, he hasn't done much in that area. And so I can understand what you're talking about here, that there are a lot of people out there that feel that Lamont has not really, you know, stepped up to the plate to address what really are the main issues of the voters in Connecticut. He's still in a very strong position to win re-election. There's no doubt about that. And you had mentioned because it's, you know, just the nature of the state now, the politics of the state. But still, there's a lot of apprehension out there. not just among progressives, but just you also mentioned unaffiliated voters who comprise 41% of the state's electorate. And so, you know, this whole business of, you know, because he's a Democrat, he's probably going to win re-election. I can understand that, but I'm not one to make any definitive prediction on that.
We are chatting with Dr. Gary Rose, who is a Sacred Heart University political professor. Following convention weekend here in Connecticut, wanted to do a deeper dive into the gubernatorial race. We really tackled the Democratic side just before the break. Now I want to talk about the Republican side. Gary, overwhelmingly supporting Senator Ryan Fazio. I don't want to say I was surprised about that, only because we knew he was kind of neck and neck, if you will, or his biggest competitor would have been Erin Stewart, who had suspended her campaign literally days before the convention, really clearing this path for him. But talk about, you know, what stood out to you following the Republican convention.
Well, you know, I had some questions whether Betsy McCoy was going to cross the 15% threshold, which she did not. And I thought it was quite magnanimous on her part to then rally behind Ryan and endorse his candidacy. I thought that was quite effective. Mm. But, you know, there was no question in my mind at all that Fazio was going to get an overwhelming percent of the delegates once the Erin Stewart, you know, saga, you know, came to light.
Right.
And she was out of the campaign, out of the race. So I was not too surprised. You know, he got 92% of the delegates. That was, I think, predictable once Stewart made her exit from the scene there. So, but my question was whether or not Betsy McCoy, even though she didn't qualify for public funding and hasn't raised much money, I still wondered if she was going to get, you know, maybe some sympathy votes or support because she was talking about repealing the state income tax, and I thought that might resonate with some people. So I thought maybe, just maybe, Betsy will cross the 15%, but she did not. And so that party is united, unlike what we saw in the other party's convention that we were talking about. But that party is absolutely united now and ready to go. And what certainly is beneficial to Fazio is he doesn't have to worry about a primary, so he can transition right into a general election mode right now and start raising funds for the November campaign. He doesn't have to worry about a competitor in a primary. So that party is really very united in a very good position to challenge whomever the Democrats nominate.
I wonder, and again, obviously Erin Stewart literally leaving 2 days before the convention, I think, makes a huge difference in how this weekend went, to be totally honest. But I'm wondering, Gary, if you feel like the Republican Party in Connecticut is still kind of looking at where we potentially missed the mark. And I have to go back to, was it 2022? When Themis Claridis lost in the primary to Leora Levy. I mean, to me, this was, I think, a really telling moment for the Republican Party where I think they sat there and kind of said, well, wait, hold on. We had somebody who honestly at least could have given Senator Blumenthal, I think, a run for his money and could have won. I mean, could have. You never know. And I think what ended up happening in that primary was voters went with the person who got the endorsement from Trump over who would have actually made probably more sense for the Republican nomination. And I'm wondering if you think that Connecticut Republicans learned from that.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I remember it well. And it was Trump's endorsement that certainly gave Leora the nomination. You know, the thing is, I know that Erin Stewart went down to Washington, D.C. when she was a candidate to try to get Trump's endorsement and failed at that. And Trump has not entered into this race now, which I think actually is to the benefit of Ryan Fazio.
I think so,
although
too.
He has said openly that he has voted for Trump and that he would welcome his endorsement and welcome his presence in this campaign. But, you know, the problem with the Republicans is they keep moving to the right sometimes on these issues. And that's not where the voters are in Connecticut. The voters are really center and very moderate. And so I can't say that Ryan Fazio is a right wing Republican, but he certainly is a conservative. And so he's going to have to, now that he's got the nomination, he's going to have to do a better job, I would say, of staking out more of a centrist position if he hopes to win this election.
Right.
Because that's where the voters are. The voters are not where the
National Republican Party is.
No, yeah, right. And all of, and the thing is that politics today is becoming nationalized in a big way.
No question.
You might think it's just state issues and local issues, but actually what's happening under Trump now, you know, permeates virtually every level of American politics.
No kidding.
And so Fazio's got to do a better job, I think, of, you know, I think for him to already be showing ads that he's going to be deporting illegal immigrants. I mean, that's for a governor to be making those claims here in Connecticut, I don't think that's a winning message. Certainly lowering taxes is a good one, but to get into border security as a governor and all of that to me, in Connecticut at least, I don't see how that really pays any type of dividends.
I agree. I agree, Gary. I think too, without a primary, to me, this is your opportunity to really, because Ryan Fazio voted for Donald Trump. He's a Republican. That comes with the title. But to your point, I think I don't see him as this far right guy. I've never really gotten that sense from him, like he's a far right guy. And I agree with you. I think this is the time if you really want to. I mean, you've got the Republican votes, but I think to your point, if you want to get more of that middle of the line on the fence, not affiliated voter to go your way, I think you have to focus on the Connecticut, which I think both sides have to do that. Like, we can't keep looking at, well, this is what's going on in Washington, so here's what I'm going to do here. No. What do we have control over here in Connecticut? What can we effectively change? Because even when Governor Lamont was talking to, I want to say it was News 8, following the convention and that there was going to be a primary, the first thing he brought up was, I'm going to beat Donald Trump. You're not going against Donald Trump. You're going against Ryan Fazio. That's who you're going against. I like, focus on what's going on here in Connecticut. And we have to stop the narrative from both sides of what's going on with Trump. I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but to your point, especially for the Republican Party, you don't have a primary. So you have this opportunity here to really attract the average voter in Connecticut. And you got to focus on what's going on here in Connecticut. I think that this is your time to do it, especially not having a primary.
Yeah. You know, Ryan was the first lawmaker up there to start talking about electric rates. And
yes,
of course, that's something now that, you know, the Democrats are going to pick up on. But those are winning. That's a winning issue right there, electric rates. And if you stay with issues like that and affordability, there's a possibility that he can win this election. And so, you know, but if you start trying to placate the MAGA base, because they will vote for the Republican regardless, you know, you're going to lose that very important independent block when
that 41%.
I agree.
Well, and it's important to, you know, get people to get out and vote, which I think is going to be the other part of this, is making sure that you have people showing up to the polls, because unless it's a presidential election, we typically do see a lot less people showing up to vote. Dr. Gary Rose, I guarantee this is not the last time you and I will be speaking about what's going on with elections here in Connecticut. And I appreciate you coming on right after the conventions wrapped up this past weekend.